And that is gracious God. You send great blessings. And you are listening to Law and Gospel on this Tuesday, July the 26th in the year of our Lord 2016. Being a Tuesday, we like to look at the hymn assigned for this coming Pentecost Sunday. And with us, of course, to talk about it is the Reverend Mark Smith. Hi, Mark.
Hi, Tom. How are you enjoying the summer so far?
Oh, is it summer?
Yes, it is summer.
Oh, yeah, I guess it's fine. Yeah, it doesn't matter to me if it's summer, winter, or whatever.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I was talking to a good friend of mine. He's a doctor, and for some reason, I have a sore throat when I get up in the morning. He said it was allergies. I said, I never had allergies. He said, that happens when you get older. So I've had to clear my throat every now and then. Within about 2 hours, I'm fine, but boy... Do you have anything like that?
Yeah. In fact, I think of my doctor all the time. He told me, he says, well, you know, your blood pressure is just a little bit high. I says, oh, you know, doctor, you know, it's always been a little bit that way. You know, he was one to put me on medication and everything. It's always been that way. Even when I was younger playing football, it always registered a little bit high. And he says, that's because you have high blood pressure.
I love these conclusions the doctors make, you know, after serious study. And yes, well.
No, they're good. Good doctors are worth every penny.
So is a good theologian.
Yeah, that's true.
So this is gracious God, you send great blessings. And the author is Martin Luther?
No. The author is Gregory Wismar.
Guess what? He's a classmate of mine.
No kidding. Well, it says he was born 1946, so that figures, it's about right.
Yep.
You remember him?
Oh, very well.
Where is he now, do you know?
In the United States. Mm-hmm. So at any rate, I'm not sure what church he's at. But be that as it may, it's kind of interesting with the new hymnal. Well, you know, Frosman's got... You start seeing hymns written by people you actually know.
Yes, isn't that something?
That is strange.
That's kind of humbling.
Yes. Now, one of the verses that it's on the basis of is Lamentations 3. But the Old Testament reading for this coming Sunday is Ecclesiastes. Vanity is vanity.
Yes, and I missed your program. Could you just very simply explain what is vanity? What does that mean? You said you were going to explain that, was it yesterday?
Yes, we did. It's a distinction between law and gospel. When you work very hard and you achieve possessions.
Yes.
Solomon wrote Ecclesiastes, we believe, as his third book.
Yes.
Song of Solomon was first, then Proverbs, then Ecclesiastes. After he had all these problems with his idolatrous wives, etc.
Right.
And he was going through a period of time when he recognized that all that he had brought together was really like a breath of wind. It wasn't worth anything because he was going to leave it to people who didn't work for it.
That's right.
And he gives instance after instance when we work really hard and nothing happens. And the part I picked up was every religion in the world is trying to do the best they can for their God. And it's all vanity.
It's all vanity. It's all, you're right. It's it's nothing.
It's nothing.
A big waste.
It's a bunch of vapor.
Yeah.
So,
except for Christianity, of course.
Well, this is the important point because he finally gets around to God. And here's how I put it from a law gospel perspective. If what you're doing is working hard, etc., and gathering possessions out of self-interest, then that is vanity.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But if you're doing the same out of interest for your neighbor and God, then you are pleased with what you have.
Right.
I use the example when I was a kid that, you know, I had my mother's 55 Meteor and I put silver Moonies on the wheels and I had tassels around the inside and I had it up in the air and I had a 4-on-the-floor shift on it.
Fuzzy dice.
Oh, yeah. It was just great. And it was just funny watching my mother drive around in it. But be that as it may, the point I wanted to make, I got more joy out of putting the stuff on that once it was on.
Yeah.
Then I see a car that had something better than me. Yeah. And I had to get that.
I know just what you're talking about.
Yeah. And that's what vanity is that you're working really hard, but you're never finally
fully
okay
satisfied.
With it. Yeah, there's only one way you feel satisfied when you're doing it out of self-interest, is you become like the Pharisees, where you minimize the law and think by following the ceremonial laws, you're getting right with God.
Right.
Thank God I'm not like that. I fast, I tithe, et cetera, et cetera.
That, but that's false satisfaction.
Oh, it's a false satisfaction.
That is vanity.
And very good. That is vanity. So the purpose is that when we do things, we just need to be thankful for what we've had. And knowing that God is still taking care of us, even when we don't have the kinds of things that we wish we did or accomplish the kinds of things. I can't believe how many people are trying to make a name for themselves so that after they die, they're remembered.
Yes.
Who cares?
Yes. You know, I think even pastors, theologians, they want to write for the ages. You know what I mean?
Give me an example.
They want to write books that will be long used. Yeah. You know, that sort of thing. And sometimes it's best just to. I have a professor that says, you know, be simple, be straightforward.
That's right.
Speak for now.
Well, I've often been at circuit meetings. Those are congregations that gather together for help with the pastors, etc. And a lot of times they'll go around the table, what's going on at your congregation?
Yes.
I have never heard a pastor say, well, we just lost 32 members who joined another church. 6 people died. They're lowering my son. Nobody ever says that. They say, well, we got more members and our attendance is up. Or they're always trying to find something positive. And to me, that's like stroking your ego.
Yeah. Yeah,
I did that once at a circuit meeting, and I gave all the negative things that were happening.
Oh, it's just like you, Tom.
They wanted to pray for me. And I don't need it. No, because that's life. I mean, there's nothing, whether you're talking about your children, that you want them to go in a certain direction and do something. And no. You're not in control. And so the more you think you are, the more things become vanity, emptiness. Futility is a good word there. Who was it that had married Mrs. Kennedy after the president died?
Onassis.
Yes. He was really rich.
Yes.
And one day his son was killed in an airplane. He said he would give all his money to have his son back.
Yeah.
I'll never forget that. Because it means nothing, you know, when you're
That's right.
in that position.
You really realize what's important.
And so the goal of a sermon, if you're talking on Ecclesiastes, is to recognize that whatever you have, what does the title say?
Gracious God, you send great blessings.
That's right. It doesn't matter what situation you're in. I mean, we were going over the Lord's Prayer.
If you're the poorest man in the world, if you've got Jesus,
that's right.
If you understand the
well
gospel,
said.
Appreciate and believe the gospel. You are the rich by far.
Yeah, we were going over the petition Sunday at Trinity Orchard Farm during the Bible study, and the one I asked, "Thy will be done on earth," and I said, "Is God's will always done on earth?" And most people said no. Which is the wrong answer. It's always done. And I said, I can prove it to you. Take a sheet of paper and write down what you would do if you had been God instead of what God did. And my point is, if you write anything down, that's idolatry. And I made the point that when we say it's the will of God, it's not that he causes sin. No. It's the will of God in one of two ways.
It's his permissive will.
His permissive will, or he actually does something.
Right.
You know, like the weather and things like that. So I said, as a Christian, you're in a no-lose situation because you have all the promises of God. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Call upon me in the day of trouble. All things will work to your good. All those things are true, but a lot of times we don't see the evidence for it. And that's why we live not by sight, but
by faith, not by sight.
Excellent. So, without further ado, why don't you read the first stanza from my good friend Gregory Wismar.
Gracious God, you send great blessings, new each morning all our days. For your mercies never ending, for your love we offer praise. Lord, we pray that we, your people, who your gifts unnumbered claim, through the sharing of your blessings may bring glory to your name.
See, that's the difference between things being vanity, that you bring glory to your own name, but when you're doing it properly, that you want to bring glory to God's name.
That's right.
And it's a huge difference. There is one point here. This is a really fine, long gospel hymn. It says, for your love we offer praise. Notice that in all other religions, first comes your praise, then God loves you.
Right.
But in Christianity, right, it's the opposite.
Yeah. We love because he first loved us.
Oh, excellent verse. That's a good verse, Mark. Yeah. Exactly the point what we're trying to make here. And a lot of people, this is why we go over these hymns. I think I told you I was at a worship service and we didn't have an instrumentalist for the organ and we didn't have a piano I could use or this sort of thing. Since then, I bring in a synthesizer for that service and I play it. But I said, well, today instead of singing, some people said, well, we could do it, what is that, a cappella?
A cappella.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I said, well, who wants to start off? And nobody knew how to sing, so, and I sure don't. So I said, instead we're going to read. And after we were done, a number of people came up to me and said, that was really interesting, because I rarely read the hymn when I sing it, because I'm so concentrating on getting
the music.
As you said earlier, before we went on the air, if you do matins, there's 10 hymns in there that are the liturgy and start instead of a part of a liturgy, and a number of them are very hard to sing, and you have to concentrate. So this here, for your love we offer praise, not the other way around. That's a big point I would make on this to when you're teaching your children what is so good about this particular hymn. I'll read stanza 2. By your word you formed creation, filled with creatures large and small. As we tend that endless treasure, may our care encircle all. Lord, we pray that we, your people, who your gifts unnumbered claim, through the sharing of your blessings may bring glory to your name. Now, what section is this hymn found in this particular hymnal?
This is in stewardship.
Yes. How would you define stewardship?
Well, we are stewards of God's creation, for
yes,
one thing.
Yes, and that's what he's saying here specifically. May our care encircle all.
Everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just like Adam when he was placed in the Garden of Eden.
That's right.
He was over all that garden.
Yes.
All the animals, all the creatures.
Like, for instance, it'd be very tough for me to be a politician. Because
I don't think so.
Well, what I mean by that is deciding what to vote for. Just yesterday, there was an official in the government indicating that worse than ISIS are air conditioners.
Oh, yes. Oh, goodness sake.
Isn't that something? Because of the liquid in the air conditioner could cause. And the person who was thinking about that said, you know, there's 10 million people saved every year because of air conditioners,
right,
who normally used to die from the heat.
Well, I know. In the city, you know, at times they give out free air conditioners, free window units, so people can survive.
Yes. And so if I was a politician, should I vote to get rid of air conditioners or should I not? See, here's the point I always make, and politicians don't follow this. Every time they do a law, they always have the benefits of the law. They should also have the negatives of the law? What could happen when you pass this law that we're not? I call them the unintended consequences.
Right.
And why a Lutheran understands that is because we realize we're living in a fallen world.
That's right.
So there is nothing that you can do that is okay, that will work out the way you want. I was just talking to a shut-in who worked at Monsanto, had a bunch of patents he himself had done there. And he was talking about they wanted to get corn to become drought-resistant. And so they used this chemical. And what happened, I guess there's roots on the corn. They went down 18 inches further than they normally do, this drought-resistant corn. And therefore, they got to water. And so rather than so much corn dying for lack of water, they're able to dig down deeper. He told me there's another plant. I said, do other plants do that? He said there's one that goes 20 feet down.
No kidding.
Yeah. And then I looked at him and I said, okay, that sounds really good. Where was the problem? And he looked at me and said, how'd you know there was a problem? I said, because we're in a fallen world. Well, what happens, this particular, the purpose of what they did with the corn, there's a certain bug that kills corn. And so they used an ingredient in the fertilizer to kill a bug.
Uh-huh.
But it resulted in the roots going down longer. It was an unintended consequence, which was a benefit. So I said, well, I don't want the benefit. What was the negative? Well, guess what? And you know this is true when people get viruses. Not everybody gets sick. And some people have something in their blood, and if you can find out who that is, then you use that to heal other people who have it. Well, guess what? There were a number of bugs that didn't die from this. They had an immune system. Now guess what happens? They keep multiplying. The other ones die out. And now all you got these bugs who don't mind eating drought-resistant corn.
Well, it's just like bringing the rabbits to Australia. You remember hearing about that?
Yes, yes.
Oh, they just took over the country.
Yeah.
Because there was no natural predator.
No, there wasn't, except human
real
beings.
Problem.
I guess people get sick of rabbit stew for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Boy, that's something. All right, stanza three.
In his earthly life, our Savior knew the care of faithful friends. May our deeds of dedication offer love that never ends. Lord, we pray that we, your people, who your gifts unnumbered claim, through the sharing of your blessings may bring glory to your name.
So Jesus himself, it says, had friends and knew the care of faithful friends. Would you include the disciples in that?
Yes.
After they fled from the garden?
I guess well, they were still his friends.
But they weren't faithful.
Well, he does say, he said, the spirit is willing, the flesh is weak.
Yes, but the flesh is where we become unfaithful. Can you think of any faithful friends he ever had?
Perfectly faithful?
Yeah.
I would think his mother.
Oh, I don't know. He had to reprimand her for her telling her to stop preaching.
How about Nicodemus or Joseph of Arimathea?
I think after their conversion,
right.
Those are good examples.
Right.
And I'm thinking in the temple early in his life. Simeon.
Simeon?
And
yes.
Anna.
Yeah, Simeon and Anna. Right.
And I would say the wise men.
Uh-huh.
Because they had come to worship the king and such. So perhaps the Cornelius.
Cornelius.
Yeah, the centurion.
The Roman centurion.
Yeah, so they really were ones, but we're going over prophecies in the Old Testament, and there's a specific one where it talks about his close friend, referring to Judas, is going to betray him.
Yes.
So he had faithful friends, and therefore may our deeds of dedication offer love that never ends. Notice what the deeds are called. It doesn't say may our deeds of good works. Our deeds of what?
Our deeds of dedication.
What does that mean? How do you explain that to a child?
May our deeds of dedication offer love. Well, when we do something to the glory of God.
Exactly. The dedication is we're doing this work. Remember what...
Actually, our whole life should be...
That's true.
...a prayer.
But we're not aware of it.
No.
What did Bach write at the bottom of all of his hymns?
What did he write?
Wasn't it
Jesu, joy of man's desire?
I'm not talking about
his music.
The phrase he put to the glory of God.
Oh, to the glory of God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it was
Solo Deo Gloria.
Very good. Yes. A lot of people don't realize that when a farmer goes out to sow seeds, that's to the glory of God.
Right.
Because it's going to feed people that he doesn't even know. Last night I was in an elders meeting, and one of the gentlemen said that he had some sweet corn for me. And
I bet it was good.
It was from Iowa. He had relatives there, I believe, and they go there at this time of the year.
Did you have any of it yet?
Oh,
I bet it was delicious.
Yeah, it was so sweet. Oh. And boy, I tell you, it was the best corn I've eaten. And he said it would be, you know. He had brought a whole trunk load home and gave me some. But when that is done, that's to the glory of God. Why he brought a trunk load home is that they put it in the freezer during the winter, and then they can use it all the time there. So, all right, why don't you read the final stanza?
Heavenly Father, may our caring bear the imprint of your grace. With the Son and Holy Spirit, praise be yours in every place. Lord, we pray that we, your people, who your gifts unnumbered claim, through the sharing of your blessings, may bring glory to your name. And, of course, that's a doxological verse. You've got a triangle before it, meaning that we stand for that final verse.
And what do you mean by doxological?
Well, it talks about God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, all in that passage.
Yes. What does it mean, bear the imprint of your grace? How does a work bear the imprint of God's grace in contrast to not bearing the imprint of God's grace?
How does it bear the imprint of your grace?
I'm thinking of the sheep and the goats. What was the difference between the good works of the sheep and the good works of the goats?
Well, one thing was the work of the sheep, they didn't realize they did it. I mean, it was completely...
So who did it?
Well, God. Christ was doing it.
Specifically. We call it fruit of the...
Fruit of the Spirit. Fruit of the Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit is the one.
So that's the imprint.
Yes.
That's the imprint. It bears the imprint of the Holy Spirit, especially.
And what does that mean specifically? It means that we did it out of motivation, out of love for Jesus.
Right, right.
And a lot of times we're unaware of that.
Yes.
You don't have to say, okay, I'm going to go to church because I love Jesus. No. Your new man always goes for the right reason. Your old man never goes for the right reason.
And a lot of times our old man is involved too.
All the time.
Even in good works. Right.
Well, because as Luther said, even a Christian can never do a sinless good work.
No.
No. So, have you decided what you're preaching on Sunday?
I think I'm going to preach on the rich fool. You know, the parable of the rich fool, you know.
Right, right. Builds the barns.
Builds the barns,
like
right.
Yeah.
But that's tempting. The vanity, which you talked about this morning, vanity, that everything is vanity. There's a lot of material there.
Actually.
And it's something we need to hear.
The rich fool quotes Ecclesiastes.
Right.
So.
It applies to all of us. I'll tell you, we all need to hear that sermon.
Yes. So. If they all need to hear it, where do they got to go to hear it?
Prince of Peace Lutheran Church in Crestwood, 8646 New Sappington Road. We'd love to have you. We have a service at 5 p.m. Saturday evening and then again Sunday morning at 9 a.m.
And your Bible study on Sunday, what's it doing?
You know, I've got to come up with a new topic. I haven't decided that yet. I've got to come up with
a new topic. You finished Law and Gospel?
Finished Law and Gospel, yes.
How can you ever finish Law and Gospel?
Well, of course,
I know.
You know what I mean.
Yes. You got a pretty good professor. Is he still a member of yours?
Okamoto? Yeah. Well, Professor Okamoto and also Professor Rossell.
Oh, wow. Wonderful. All right. Tomorrow, Insight. God bless.
This time on Worldwide KFUO. For a contribution to the program, make your check payable to Law and Gospel and mail it to Pastor Tom Baker, Post Office Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri 63132. You can call toll-free at 1-877-267-1962 or email Law and Gospel at lawandgospel101.com. Views and opinions expressed on Worldwide KFUO may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you'd like to comment on programs or topics heard on Worldwide KFUO, write us at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can also leave a question or comment on our comment line at 314-996-1542. We are the messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.